Can we turn to the book of Psalms, Psalm 112? We want to take our reading from this portion of God's Word, Psalm 112. We want to read together this psalm, and we trust that even the reading of the Word of the Lord will be a blessing to our hearts. Psalm 112, commencing to read from the opening verse. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in his commandments. His seed shall be mighty upon earth. The generation of the upright shall be blessed. Wealth and riches shall be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. Unto the upright there ariseth light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man showeth favour and lendeth. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he shall not be moved forever. The righteous shall be in everlasting remembrance. He shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He shall not be afraid until he see his desire upon his enemies. He hath dispersed. He hath given to the poor. His righteousness endureth forever. His horn shall be exalted with honour. The wicked shall see it and be grieved. He shall gnash with his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish. Amen. Ending the reading there, we know that the Lord's blessing will follow it to our hearts for his name's sake. Well, we want to turn now to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians in the chapter 9. Verse 6 is the verse of our text this morning. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The Apostle Paul presents before the Corinthian church the gain, the profit, or the benefit of being generous and liberal with the world's goods that God has prospered them with. You see, God never intended that the Corinthian church would be a church that would withhold that from their fellow man. Rather, God willed that in a practical way, the Corinthians would reach out to their fellow men. That they would reach out and minister to the needs of those through liberal distribution. You see that in verse 13 of this chapter. Here we're told, whiles by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. So you see very clearly there that there was the distribution, a liberal distribution from the church at Corinth to others. Indeed, a careful reading of the verses 7 through to the end of this chapter will reveal that the scope of the message here in this chapter pertains to this subject alone. And therefore, almsgiving, or distributing to the needy, or giving to the missionary, is indeed the great theme of this chapter. Had the Corinthians applied the message of Psalm 112 in the verse 9, that portion we read earlier, had they applied the message of the verse 9 of Psalm 112 to their lives, this chapter need never have been written. In a nutshell, such is the narrative, the contextual narrative of this chapter. But I do not wish to speak upon the main subject matter here. I have in some way highlighted to you what is conveyed here. But rather I want to deal with a simile that is employed to convey the spiritual truth. And therefore I want to lift the verse 6 out of its natural context. Because all that I said pertaining to almsgiving, to the distribution of goods, which the Corinthian church were exhorted to do, God, through the Apostle Paul, takes as a simile and seeks to apply this truth to the heart of the church. So therefore I'm lifting this verse out of its natural context in order to preach a message on the harvest. The Bible abounds with figures and with parables. But all possess a strong vein of precious truth. Now the vein of precious truth before you here is that of sowing. You look in the verse 6, but I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. The central truth here is that of sowing. We can see that very plainly in the verse 6. Sowing is the central truth. And throughout the Bible, this teaching of sowing is paramount. I think of the book of Job. There we read of those that sowed wickedness. And that ties in with what Paul taught in the New Testament, of those who will sow discord among the brethren, of those who will sow tares among the wheat, and sow to the flesh, so to speak, and all of these other things. We know that sowing is a great truth that is traced throughout the Word of God. It's found also in the book of Psalms. There we read of the sowing of the precious seed, or of those that go forth weeping, bearing precious seed, they shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing their sheaves in them. Sowing is the emphasis. It is the teaching, it is the simple truth that is taught in many places throughout God's Word. And sowing, it is what is found here in our text. None should expect to reap who do not sow. Surely that is the message conveyed here in the verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he that soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There is a very simple and a straightforward truth conveyed there. Today I wish to pick up this theme and to preach it as God would give us enabling grace and light so to do. We want to consider the secret of a profitable harvest. Firstly, with me, I want you to notice the principle of sowing. There is a principle that is taught here in our text, and that principle is the principle of sowing. Cultivation is hard work, but it's necessary. If you know anything at all of farming, you will know that to be true. Cultivation, hard work, but it's necessary. And here we see it in the verse 6. He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. What has been sown? Now we think of the spiritual field. We know that it is God's seed that is being sown. We know that. Let's take that for granted. What is sown and how it is sown? It is sown upon the earth. We today are taking the gospel seed, which is the word of God, and we are seeking to sow that upon the earth. The husbandman goes out into the field and he prepares the field in the material world. There is a process, a preparation which is vital. And everyone who knows anything about farming techniques knows that this is true in the natural realm. Our brother John referred to me being from Ballymigurney. Ballymigurney is Apple County. It's in the midst of Apple County and County Armagh. We have in the gable end of our house, we have orchards. In fact, they're almost right around the house. Orchards. One of the side rooms in our house in the gable end, you could open the window and reach out and almost pluck an apple from the trees. They're that close. And I'm not exaggerating. But we see the process of cultivation. We see the men out spraying the trees to promote growth, to reduce insecticides, disease, and all the rest of it. There is a process. Actually starts in late October, they're spraying for next year. Lest disease sets into the trees. There is a process, there is a work of cultivation. And brethren and sisters in Christ, this is so too spiritually. The mind, the heart, the soul of man is like the soil. It's like the soil. We must remember that man is made from the dust of the ground, and unto dust he shall return. And the seed of knowledge, both of good and evil, is sown in the heart of men by the Holy Spirit. Yes, through the preaching of God's word, but it is applied to the Spirit of God. The seed of gospel truth is sown. The seed of knowledge is sown. The seed of wisdom is sown. The seed of divine truth is sown upon the fleshly tables of men's hearts. Was there not the sowing this morning in the Sabbath school, in the Bible class in this church? Has there not been the sowing last night in the harvest? That sowing didn't just start yesterday in the harvest services. No, it has been ongoing. Perhaps it started last year. The year before, the sowing of the seed, it is ongoing. For all this sowing, there will be a reaping. Some to everlasting life, and some to wrath, but all to the glory of God. There are those in whose heart the word has been sown, and it will bear forth fruit, and there are others that it won't. They will die, and they will perish in their sin.
but all to the glory of God. The seed has been sown.
Here we see the principle of sowing. It is sown upon the earth. But there is evidence shown whether it has been sown. Whether the guiding principle has been obeyed. If you were today to take a country where there is no gospel influence, where the commandments are not taught, where the children are not catechized, where the word of God is not memorized, I ask, what kind of land would that be like? Would it not be a land that is devoid of morality? Would it not be a land that you would depict in your mind's eye as a land that is uncivilized, that is uncultured, a heathen land that is bereft of godliness, such as darkest Africa? But if you today were to take a city where there is no gospel influence, where the word of God has not been sown, could we not say the same thing? Where the commandments are not taught, where the children are not catechized, where the word of God is not memorized, what kind of a city would that be? Would it not be a city that is filled with crime, a city of corruption, a city where there are constant muggings, rape, drugs, drunkenness, and all forms of immorality? But let's bring it a little bit closer to home. What about a district or a town? What about a home where there is no gospel influence? Where the commandments of God are not taught? Where the children are not catechized? Where the word of God is not memorized? What kind of a land, of a city, of a district, of a town, of a home would that be? Recently, I had occasion to going to a built-up area. There in that built-up area, I was just sitting in the car waiting for a few moments before I went to the house. And I could hear voices raised. One of the houses, in a row of terrace block. I didn't know what home the voice was coming from, but I could hear a voice, raised voices. What I heard wasn't pleasant, because it was the voice of a mother saying to someone I don't know who or what age, but the words were these, "Go to hell. Go to hell." Is that not a home wherein God's word has not been taught? The scriptures have not been memorized? The catechism has not been taught nor instructed? What a sad, sad place. How awful if farmers in February or March of this year had not gone out and sown the seed, will we have some of the fruit or the vegetables that you see around us? There is a principle of sowing. We ought to mark the principle well. Verse 6 says, "He which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." The principle set out is that we shall reap in proportion to our sowing. Scanty sowing will bring scanty results. Much sowing, much blessing. Can I just pause? Very often we say before a gospel campaign, little prayer, little blessing. Much prayer, much blessing. The principle of sowing. Child of God, are you sowing? Are you sowing the seed? You may say, "I can't go to the doors. I can't invite others." Can you come to the prayer meeting? Can you pray? Your very presence there is an indication you need the Lord. You can encourage others by being there, by praying with, by supporting them. Here we have the principle of sowing. Then secondly, I want us to consider the practice of sowing. You know, it's one thing to know a theory and to get to grips with a theory, but it is quite another to put that theory into practice. For instance, on a cold winter morning, it's not easy for a ploughman to rise out of his bed and to labour. Not easy for a man to go out into the harsh weather battling against the rain and the wind or the cold or the biting frosts. There are other things that the ploughman might think he will be better occupied in doing. Of course, today we have all of the comforts. We have tractors with air conditioning and with great heaters. And it's very, very easy to get up early in the morning to go out and to plough 20 or 30 acres a day. We think nothing of it. But can you imagine a ploughman with a horse-driven plough in the cold, biting frosts, January and February, as he is ploughing the ground? It's not easy. It's not easy. But if he feels to go out and to plough, he knows the theory that he has to go. But if he doesn't go, what of the harvest? What of the harvest? Would there be any if the husbandman failed to engage in the practice of sowing? Would there be any potatoes? Would there be any vegetables if he didn't go out and plough and sow? We can apply that. The Christian ploughman, Likewise, he battles against extreme adverse weather conditions. You know, there are those sinners of whom we go to speak to, and they would greet us with a cold blast, so to speak. That the very words that they would speak would almost cause us to frostbite. There are those that would spit in our faces. There are those that will despise us for sowing the good seed. That's true. But what if we should fail to engage in the practice of sowing? We have to sow regardless. We sow according to our means. This is our practice. One farmer may not have the same financial clout as another neighbouring farmer. But despite that, he has to sow the seed. He has to sow according to his means. Here we find this very principle brought to bear in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. You see, the Macedonian church, if you look at the verses 1 through to 3 of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed in the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves." Here were the Macedonians, and they gave beyond their means. Beyond their means. They went the second mile in the service of the king. You know, it's very easy to say, or to state, we can't afford to sow the seed. I would answer that very simply. We can't afford not to. Doesn't matter what means a church has at her disposal. Whether she be in the poverty line, she has means. She has to sow the seed. She has to sow the seed. There are others who think, what's the use of sowing? We have sown for years. Ah yes, there are years of famine. There are years of hardship. There are years of great difficulty. We may think to ourselves, what's the use? I've invited people in the past and they've never come. We do it reluctantly. We do it perhaps to see a face. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we do it as unto the Lord. That's the practice of sowing. We sow according to our means as unto the Lord. We sow embracing all seasons. According to the natural harvest, there is an appointed time to sow. But not so with the spiritual harvest. We can sow the gospel of Christ in the hearts of men, whether it is morning or whether it is night. Whether it is cold or whether it is warm. Whether it is wet or whether it is dry. Regardless of their faith, regardless of their creed, regardless of their color, regardless of their age, regardless of a person's state of health, we can sow the seed. We sow, embracing all seasons. That's our practice. We have an eye to all opportunities, to every opportunity that God gives us. We're sowing the seed. We continue to sow. Our labor is an ongoing labor. There is no cessation to the labor of Christ. If you're not there, someone else will. They will step in. They will labor. We continue to sow. There are those that are yet unreached. We continue to reach them. There are those that are yet unwon. Look at the area that surrounds this church. Souls that are unwon. We must sow. We must continue to sow. We must continually sow the seed of God's word in the hearts of sinful men. It is a continual drop that wears a hole through the rock, is it not? And by our continual determination, we can yet, brethren and sisters, win them for the Lord. By perseverance, we might win them. We're told work for the night is coming when man's work is done. We abundantly sow. We spare not. The grain is in the granary of God, and it is God's grain. It's there to be used. Every person here, I'm convinced of it. Every person has talents. You have talents. Perhaps talents that I don't have. You have the gift of the gab. You could talk the hind leg of a stool. Why not talk about Jesus? Why not tell others about Jesus? Someone else has a winsome personality. Why not employ it for the Lord? Why not use it for His glory? Those have talent to sing. Praise God, they use it. You know, the more we sow, our skill to sow will develop. It will. The more often we sow, our skill will develop. Our power to sow will develop. It will grow. Our love to sow will increase. We have seen the principle, the practice. I want to conclude with the prospect from sowing. Twice over in this verse, I want you to notice it. Twice over. The law of the harvest has been taught. But this I say, Paul says, He which soweth sparingly shall reap. That's the law of the harvest. He shall reap. He shall reap also sparingly. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap. He shall reap also bountifully. God speaks once, yet twice, and man perceives it not. Here God is speaking twice. What has he given us? The principle of sowing, the practice of sowing, but the prospect from sowing. We shall reap. We shall reap. This is true of the harvest, of the natural harvest. The law of the harvest is so, that we shall reap if we sow, and so too in religion. The good seed that is sown, it will not suffer loss. Though a seed should fall to the ground and die, yet there is life in that seed. There's life in that seed. If you know anything of science or that subject, you will know that if a seed contains life. All that it needs are three things. Water, oxygen, that's all that it needs. There is life in that seed. And we must remember that though it lie dormant for a time on the earth, in the hearts and the lives of men, yet God will make it good. Well, God will. That's the prospect. Can I just give you an illustration? Many years ago in England, John Flavel was preaching. He was preaching from a text of Scripture in Corinthians that speaks of anathema maranatha, cursing. At the close of that service, John Flavel, he couldn't bring the service to a close and pronounce a benediction, for he felt God was speaking, and so powerfully. But God didn't work on that occasion. There was a young man in the service, we're not told his name, but not long after that, he and his parents, they emigrated to Canada, to the United States of America. He was only 16 at the time. They went away. When he was 85 years of age, he was out walking the fields, looking over the ground that he had bought and worked over for many years. And he was thinking of his childhood, as we often do. He was thinking back. He remembered John Flavel. He remembered the sermon that John Flavel preached on that Sunday. He remembered it almost word for word. And God smote his heart. The seed had been sown 85 years before almost. And that seed now was bearing fruit. He got saved, and he lived the next 15 years of his life to the glory of God. That's the prospect. Our service for the Lord is not in vain. It's never in vain. Sunday school teacher, children's worker, whatever you do for the Lord, it's not in vain in the Lord. We are promised a harvest. We have a wonderful prospect that is set before us. We shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. Maybe you're praying for a loved one to be saved. Can God answer that prayer? You've given up. God hasn't. George Mueller was a man who prayed and prayed for years. He was a man who saw great answers to his prayer, but there were three men that he prayed for to be saved in his life. None of them were saved in his life. None of them. But at his funeral service, one of them came through for the Lord. And not long after, the other two came. You see, we shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap if we faint not. We shall reap more than we have sown. If this were not so, if this were not true regarding the harvest, then the harvest or the sowing of the seed would be pointless. It would be useless. If it were only grain for grain, it would be totally useless. But one seed, it yields either 30, 60, or 100-fold. That is the power of the seed of God. It multiplies. And when we, child of God, take the seed of God's word, it multiplies. Very often in the mission, we might see one soul saved. And, well, I heard a story one time of an evangelist and a minister after a gospel campaign was over that they were reminiscing, they were talking, and they said how disappointing that mission was. It was only one lad saved, one young boy. They said the mission was a failure. They didn't know that that young boy was going to grow up to adulthood. They didn't know that he was going to be a missionary. They didn't know he was going to go out into the harvest fields. They didn't know the catchment that would be gleaned from that one soul. They didn't know. You see, we will reap more than we have sown. We shall reap abundantly. Verse 6 tells us, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Proportion by proportion. God rewards accordingly. William Carey had a tremendous motto. It was, attempt great things for God and expect great things from God. Is that your motto? What a glorious prospect the church has, abundant reaping. Abundant reaping. You know, for all this reaping, which we will receive, in due course, let's remember to return thanks to the Lord. All increase is from the Lord. The rain is His. The sun is His. The crop is His. One soweth, another reapeth. But it is God who giveth the increase. For all that we sow, we shall reap. Christian, Continue to sow the seed. Continue to look on the harvest fields. Today, they are whitened on the harvest. All of us should be looking unto the Lord, because God will not fail to send a harvest. Let us take heart. Let us go forth. And let us bring in the sheaves. May God bless His word to our hearts for His name's sake.